Just gone 15 minutes after six, and at this part of the show, we're going to be looking at entrepreneurship. We've kind of called it Entrepreneur Friday, so to speak. We're still playing around with some names. But what I'm going to strive to do every month is to have a panel discussion with somebody who's influential in the entrepreneurship space. And today I have Matsi Modise, who's the MD of Simodisa. And I'll also be joined on the line by Bolo Khadebe, who's the CEO of Identity Capital Partners. And they're both women, both doing amazing things in the entrepreneurship space, and they're very passionate about what's happening there. But without further ado, let me introduce my speaker. Matsi, thank you so much for your time.
It's an absolute pleasure. Thank you very much for having me.
So you're the managing director of Simodisa. Before we even get to, the conversation about entrepreneurship, let's talk a little bit about, say, 60 seconds.
All right.
What Simodisa does.
I'll try to give you 30.
Okay, cool.
So Simodisa is an industry association for entrepreneurs by entrepreneurs, and it's about how do we build a critical mass of entrepreneurship in South Africa. We need more entrepreneurs. We need more contributors to our economy. We need more job creators. And so we focus on the policy side, venture capital, and building an entrepreneurship ecosystem, basically connecting entrepreneurs to opportunities that currently exist in South Africa.
All right. Well, Bola now joins us on the line. Bola, thank you so much for your time this evening.
Hi, Natasha. Thank you. And good evening to your listeners and to Matsi.
Hey.
I can imagine how small the world is when it comes to entrepreneurship. But Bolo, perhaps, you know, you can join in on this conversation. When you're looking at the entrepreneurship space right now in South Africa, how are you assessing it right now?
Well, I suppose we're going through a very difficult economic environment at the moment. So we are starting to see some of the entrepreneurs really struggling to maintain and to grow their businesses. But there are resilient SMEs out there, and we, I suppose, as investors, are always on the lookout to invest in those businesses that are able to, you know, to withstand the current challenges that we're facing as an economy. But there's certainly a significant growth in the number of entrepreneurs that are entering in the market, you know, considering that when we started in 2008, it was really very difficult to find, businesses worth investing in. So the quality certainly has over time improved, and we're quite pleased by that.
So let's look at funding. You were talking about the tough space that we're currently operating in, I suppose even small businesses as well. But for somebody who's an emerging entrepreneur and who's saying that, you know what, I have a mentor, I've got a great idea, I've read all the entrepreneurship books that one can think of, I interact and I network, but the one thing I need is funding and I'm not able to get it. This is a question I'm going to pose to both of you. Starting off with you, Matsi, what are some of the couple, I don't know, the nuggets that you would sort of share to for another entrepreneurs to how do you get access to funding?
Sure. So it's common, I wouldn't say common knowledge, but I mean, South Africa is abundant with capital, with money to be deployed. But I also do feel that entrepreneurs need to give the funders a little bit of slack, cut them some slack, because you have to start thinking as an investor. You have to look at your business idea and have a sense of, is this something that I would actually put 1 million rands towards? Given the risk, given the fact that I haven't validated my business idea, is this something that I would be able to invest all the time, all the energy into? And so obviously you have to start thinking like what an investor would think like. And the thing in South Africa is that early stage investing is still a bit of a gap. If you're looking for 50,000 rands, 100,000 rands, 200,000 rands, not a lot of people are able to give you that money. Our development funding institutions look at about 250 upwards. So for those people that are looking anything below that, it's still going to be a bit of a challenge. Hence, we need to start now, looking into other forms of investing, other different ways of, instead of going to the bank, you know, there are other avenues that you can, look into. There is invoice factoring. You have to look at, in terms of grants, who are offering grants for me to be able to validate my business idea to create that pilot. So do a little bit more work before you approach investors, because at the end of the day, they are also people that are risk averse. They don't want to put money into a venture that has not been tested and you haven't necessarily done your groundwork.
Bolo, your thoughts?
Well, I always say that, there's a difference between having an idea and actually having a business. And those are two very different things. And a lot of the time, people do not succeed in raising funds because they want people to invest in ideas as opposed to something that has been tested. So I think Matt is quite correct in saying that, you know, you need to do some groundwork yourself. You need to show some skin in the game. And I think it's always easier to convince somebody to back you if you've sold, even if it's one unit of whatever product it is that you're saying you're selling, as opposed to just wanting people to back an idea, because that's all it is, an idea. I also think, though, importantly, entrepreneurs really need to do their due diligence in terms of the various types of funders that are there, out there. A lot of the time, you know, somebody, as an example, would be wanting to fund a contract, but then they would go to a venture capitalist. And now a venture capitalist is looking for, you know, a high growth business. Of course, that it's assumed that there will be a lot of risk associated therewith. But they also want to make sure that they get a significant return. Now, if you are wanting to fund a contract, a venture capital funder is really not the kind of investor you should be looking at. You probably should be looking at going to a bank or a debt provider of sorts. So entrepreneurs really need to understand what their funding needs are and then go out and look for the right financiers for whatever it is that they are looking for.
All right. So we're going to take a quick ad break, and then when we come back, we'll have a look at some of the sectors that, you know, we're finding women, strong women participation and why those particular sectors. And we'll also be looking at how are we spurring the culture of entrepreneurship amongst women. We'll be back. Welcome back. It's gone 23 minutes after 6. And if you've just joined us, I'm joined by Matsi Modise, who's the MD of Simodisa, and Bolo Khadebe, who's the CEO of Identity Capital Partners. We're talking about entrepreneurship. But in this particular segment of the conversation, we're going to be looking at some of the strides women are making in particular sectors and in which sectors, you know, those strides have been made. Bolo, let's kick off with you. I mean, when you're looking at the sectors that, you know, women are strongly getting involved in, and it's always amazing to see women, you know, venture out into entrepreneurship. Which sectors are you seeing being more dominant, so to speak?
Satya, just a correction. I'm actually the CEO of IDF Capital and not Identity Capital Partners. I'm a shareholder and founder there, but not the CEO, just so that people know what to look for.
Right.
So in terms of sectors, we are invested in most sectors of the South African economy, and I can tell you that we are finding women in all those sectors. And I think the challenge in the past really has been that traditionally it has been assumed by women for various reasons that funding is there for men and not so much for them. So what we've found is that women tend to, you know, use their own savings, perhaps use monies from their family to start their businesses, whereas men tend to very quickly go to a financier to raise capital. So what we have done as an institution, because we ourselves are a woman-owned and led organization, and our message has been very clear right from the onset that we are keen on finding women entrepreneurs. And I think that messaging has been critical in ensuring that we're able to attract a lot of women entrepreneurs. So, I mean, we run a technology fund, and more than 50%, in fact, I think about 70% of that fund is invested in women-owned businesses. Mm. Now, typically, people would assume that women, you don't find women in technology, and yet there are a lot of women participating in that space. We find women in agri-business in particular. I think traditionally, women would be found in agriculture. So as, you know, they mature from primary to secondary and tertiary, we're finding that women are sort of graduating into those sectors as well. Mm. So we are, I think the one area that, and it's a new area for us, is in the chemicals space. So we haven't yet seen a lot of activity there, although, you know, there are, you know, a few women that we have looked at, but we're finding that there are more men so far than there are women. That I believe that once we go out with a very clear message in that sector that we are looking for women, we'll start seeing them coming through. Mm. I mean, we invest, for instance, in the rail sector, and quite a lot of businesses that we are currently in our pipeline are women-owned businesses. So I think it is a fallacy to assume that women are not found in what we assume are traditionally male-dominated sectors. I think it has just been the messaging traditionally that financial institutions, business support institutions, are primarily there to support male entrepreneurs, and women sort of, you know, go into their little corners and try and figure out how they start their businesses and grow their businesses without necessarily going to institutional investors. So it's an educational thing as well, but it's also just that visibility in the market from, you know, somebody like ourselves or similar people who say, well, we are specifically looking for women. And we do find that they come through once you have that clarity in your messaging. Yeah.
Mati, we've got a few minutes left on the show, but you know, everybody's talking about the so-called fourth industrial revolution, which of course we know is underpinned by technology. From your perspective, are we creating an enabling environment for South African entrepreneurs, not just women, to actually take advantage of what this is going to be?
Absolutely. I think technology is going to underpin everything. As a business, having a digital presence, it's something as simple as having a Facebook page for your business or having a website so that your business can scale. I can be here in Rosebank and you can have a company in Soweto.
Yeah.
Have a website, have a presence. So people are actually already doing it. They just don't understand that they're doing it. And yes, there's a great drive and a great emphasis around use technology to scale. Use technology to be efficient because it is already. Use it. It's a free platform most of the time. And so let's kind of not overly emphasize on this big word, fourth industrial revolution. It's basically saying technology underpins everything. We are in a digital world. So make sure that you're using and taking advantage of it.
There's this thing about femininity. How do you use your power of femininity to sit in those boardrooms with all those men with big, tough CEOs and, you know, they wear these suits and, you know, you can feel intimidated. How do you own the space that you're in and say to yourself, you know what, I'm going to do this?
It's important just to be yourself. Don't try to be anything that you're not. And you'd be surprised how disarming that is because you come across as genuine. You're not trying to grow balls in inverted commas, excuse my language. You have to be a female in this world. And gone are those days of a male-dominated world. I think things have equalized now.
Yeah.
And also being your own female self is quite charming. It's also, it tends to be disarming. And a lot of people, if they see that you're a progressive woman and you're trying to do your level best, a lot of the times people want to encourage that because they need to see more and more of you.
Boilo, we've just got about, I'd say, a minute and a bit left for the show. The power of femininity in order to, you know, move ahead. How are you viewing it?
I think we underestimate the power of femininity. In fact, it has been proven that most attributes that women have are critical attributes for successful leaders. Things like empathy, things like being able to listen, things like thinking things through carefully and being strategic. Those are attributes that traditionally are found in women, or naturally rather found in women. And we need to understand that and really leverage off that. You know, that power that we is a God-given power almost. But I agree with Marcy. We are not men. We can never, ever be men. And we should just be the best women that we can be. What I have found is that if you understand your subject matter and you speak with authority, it doesn't matter whether you're a man or a woman, you will get the respect that you deserve. So I think it's important for women to take themselves seriously, be bold, not be apologetic when they walk through the door and sit, around a boardroom table. They should just, carry that confidence, that feminine confidence, and be themselves. And I think when you're your best self, then people start respecting, that person that comes through. And she's quite correct in saying that you come across as authentic because you're not trying to pretend to be a man. You're not trying to be a macho. You're just being your best self.
Well, with that, I'll have to leave it there, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you so much, for tuning in. And thank you so much as well to, my guest, Mati Modise, who's the MD of Simodisa, and Bolo Khadebe, who is the CEO of IDF Capital, for joining me this evening. From myself and the rest of the MoneyWeb team, good night.